Welcome to Behind the Pod, a series of interviews and meta discussions about Podfic and Podfic fandom.
This is a potty favour for the first series of Behind the Pod.
Hello, this is Trish, aka Black Glass on AO3.
Hi, and I'm Jazz, aka Kaicho on AO3.
I'm Isabella, and I'm the Lian and She on AO3.
Hi, I'm Mel, I'm Rhythmia on AO3.
And I'm Jess, or Miss Marina 95 on AO3.
Today, this is a roundtable with Podficers of color. We're mainly going to be talking about how we feel being people of color impacts our work as Podfic creators, how we experience Podfic fandom, some things we've noticed as part of our experience being people of color in the Podfic fandom, and talking about some recs, some events that center people of color that we've participated in fandom and things like that. So I am the moderator, Trish, and I am also Black as Glass on Twitter and Tumblr if you want to follow. I have been podficking for 6 years? Yes, 6 years. And I started off in Marvel fandom. That's my most podfic fandom. I'm mainly right now in Critical Role, but I've also podficked in like nearly 300 fandoms. So,
oh my god!
I did
300.
Count.
300, wow!
Almost 300. So I'm very much multi-fanish, but Marvel and Critical Role are like my most podfic fandoms.
Okay, well, I'm Kaicho, and I've been podficking for, I want to say, a little over a year. I came to Podfic from writing, so I'm mostly a fandom writer, and I've written far too many fic, about 250. Marvel fandom, yeah. Started off in Harry Potter, stayed in Marvel fandom for a long-ass time, and now I'm in Footy RPF, and I started doing podficking because Isidrizzit, like, she was the only podficker in our fandom.
Yeah.
And she had a hard time, so I just did it to keep her company. Mm-hmm. So I just did it to keep her company, really.
This is Isabella. I've been podficking since about 2012, 2013. My first work on AO3 is 2013, but I was putting stuff up on Tumblr, like, back when that was a thing. And I didn't know podfic was really a thing. I was just like, I'll read stories out loud. Why not? People probably won't listen, but, these days I would say that, I'm kind of not in a fandom currently. I'm not really producing a whole lot. I'd probably say I'm in femslash fandom primarily, because I always try to get more involved in those kind of things, but yeah, I've not either been reading fic or really making podfic, so output's kind of meh.
That's fair. I mean, life happens.
For reals. Okay, cool. Hi, it's Mel. I'm Rhythmia on AO3. Because people keep stealing that name everywhere, I'm like,
yeah.
Rhythmia on Dream. I managed to keep Rhythmia for Dreamwith and Live Journal and AO3, but I'm Rhythmelia on Tumblr and Twitter. So you can also find me there. Let's see, I've been podficking for myself, like having ambitions to podfic since about 2012, but I never actually posted anything until 2016. So I've.
Aww.
Yeah. No, I used to, like, record, you know those audio recorders you use to record lectures?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I was using it for recording lectures in grad school, and I was like, oh, maybe if I tried recording some stuff that I was really excited about in, like, Marvel and Teen Wolf. This is right around, like, when Avengers came out,
mm-hmm.
and, like, Teen Wolf. So I was, like, recording stuff on this little audio thing in my closet, and then being like, this is really awful audio quality. I'm not going to post it anywhere. Yeah, fandoms I primarily create for, I'm very multi-fanish. But most of my work in my AO3 right now is Check Please, Yuri on Ice, Naruto, Marvel, some good omens, and a whole lot of Tumblr nonsense. Because that's my niche, I think, is like finding really funny Tumblr chains and then recording them.
Okay, me next. So I'm Jess or Miss Marina 95. I'm Miss Marina 95 on most platforms. I have like a Dreamwith, and I think I still have a LiveJournal. I'm pretty sure I do anyways. I don't use it, but it exists. AO3 Twitter is where I'm pretty like on a lot. That's where I'm most active, I guess. And then I've been podficking since 2012. My turnaround time from like discovering Podfic to like making Podfic was pretty fast. And I was mostly in Supernatural at the time. And I'm pretty mono fanish, unfortunately. I hate it about myself. But I'll like cling to fandoms until they're dead. So I was in Supernatural for a really long time. And then I did a little bit of bouncing around. I did some Bandom stuff. I did like a tiny bit of Teen Wolf stuff. I did some like Check Please. And then I've been in Marvel Hell for like, I don't know, 5 or 6 years now. So I would say that's the one I'm still primarily in right now, although I'm getting close to the end of this one, and I'm gonna have to find something else soon. But that's mostly primarily what I still create for.
All right, so our first sort of discussion question is, do you feel like being a person of color has impacted your work as a podficker? And if so, how?
I'll go first. It's not until more recently that I think I've tried to, I guess, actively be more like diverse in the kind of works I create. And I think a lot of that has to do with other podfickers kind of saying like, I really want to do more of fem slash, I really want to do more works with people of color in it. And I'm like, wow, like I want to do that too. And I feel that before I hadn't really, I kind of just went with whatever was most popular in my fandoms. I tend to flock towards the things, the ships that have like the most works for them, which usually aren't the ones with people of color or, fem slash or anything. So before the things I created really widely reflected, I guess, what were as was more popular in fandom at the time, or I guess more created. And I really was kind of thinking about it in the last like year or two, and I was like, wow, I really want to create more works that are different and that I'd be interested in, and that includes like people of color and more femme slash particularly.
And then who else wanted to talk?
I did.
Okay, yeah,
I
go
have
ahead.
thoughts. Should we like introduce ourselves before we say a thing so people
Yeah,
know who
that
we
might be
are?
Yeah,
better.
probably. That was Jess.
Yeah. That was
Go
Jess.
on.
Yes, let's do that before,
Okay, cool. So this is Mel. So I would say that it definitely impacts how I prioritize the works I want to do because I, gosh, if you look in my AO3 bookmarks once it's all back up again, the endless list of things that are like to pod that I'm like wanting to do is lots of things, all different kind of fandoms, all different kind of like pairings and what they might talk about. But the ones I tend to want to prioritize first are the characters of color and the queer characters, because it's like, oh, I want to make more of what I am in the world. And they tend to, and like queer characters and that aren't like the two white dude ships, right, tend to be like they get less love in fandom anyway, right? So I'm more likely to prioritize working on those characters where like characters of color are either the main character or they're heavily featured and drive the story. Like I'm already expecting as a podficker that the amount of feedback I'm going to get is fairly minimal, right? Like I
Mood.
like right? Like so I'm just like whatever, I don't care. I create 'cause I like it. So, just picture a giant shrug emoji. Yeah, so that's me.
Okay, well, this is me. This is Jazz Kaicho. I'm coming from a different thing in the sense that I used to write a lot of fic, and when I'm writing fic, I'm what you call a prompt writer. So as in, if anybody came and said, "Jazz, Kaicho, write me this," I just write that. And because of that, a lot of the stuff I'd write would be, like white centric characters like Stoney, Stephen Tony, Marvel. Oh God, I've written a lot of that. And in football RPF, there's like a lot of like white guy ships. And when I'm writing things of colors and characters of color, like I'd write it for myself, because I know that I wouldn't necessarily get any response or any, you know, any like comments on it. But I'd be like, that's fine. I'm doing it for me. So that, so in terms of, you know, characters of color, POC, you know, I'd write it for me. So I wouldn't really care. So in terms of coming to podficking, I must admit, basically, when I've podficked, it's just been for like a particular person. So it's mostly been white ships, but then the team that I support, Tottenham Hotspur, it's very multicultural, very multiracial. So I can actually like podfic for that as well. So I'd say, okay, I was in LJ in 2010 when that whole color. Yeah, remember
race
that,
fail.
That
race fail.
Storm? Yes, yeah. Race fail. So I had my big fights with that, and I had my dragged down, like, cat fights over it. So in podfic fandom, I'm kind of like chill because I'm like, you know, I'm producing what I want to produce, and if you want to listen, yay, and if you don't, well, whatever. Because I've already had my big, you know, torn down, like, you know, how, like, I think it was Supernatural. Did you ever, did anyone
the Haiti thing.
The Haitian fic, and then I you know, I wrote this whole big meta on it, and the whole thing of, like, Haitian Creole is actually a language and not ooga booga noise and such. So I've already, like, done my dramas with that. So I think in podfic, as a podfic of color, I'm, I've already like done my big battles, so I'm just like easy.
Right. It all cycles back around again anyway.
Well, Isabella, hi. I think when it comes to actually, I read all over the place, but when it comes to actually putting in the work to produce podfic, which we all know takes ages. My motto is basically be the change you want to see. And so I always prioritize, like most people said, the queer characters and the characters of color and the queer characters of color. Mostly because that also reflects my identity. And I know that there are other people looking for those kinds of things, and if I can be the the little, like, you know, like 5K fic that someone, like, makes someone's day, that makes me happy and is much more likely to, you know, make me want to produce more stuff. Because I did start out in fandom doing Supernatural podfic.
Same.
I feel like we all know that tone of voice.
I'm starting to be really glad I was never in this fandom.
And I don't know, I quickly like burnt out on it, and after that I was just like, you know what, I want more femslash and more stuff, and so I do take the time to kind of find those tiny stories that maybe I don't regularly read for these ships, but like taking the time to find those little like nuggets out there that, you know, can be a little like slice of representation out in the big bad world. I enjoy doing that, because if I'm gonna put all this time, and I'm already not that, I'm certainly not prolific, I want it to be something, you know, as great as I can make it. And I don't want it to be another just like two white dudes.
Yeah, there's already enough people doing those.
There's anything wrong with that. You know, produce what makes you happy. But, you know, queer people, people of color also exist, so.
All right. So for me, I've always been very intentional about what I podfic. I've talked before about what got me into podficking. And a lot of it was, you know, just like you know, the inner performer in me, and like this was podfic about like something I could realistically do because I'm like the slowest writer in the world and I can't draw. But something I don't often talk about, you know, my podfic origin story is that I was super not into what most of podfic fandom was creating at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we all know that, you know, the white dude slash mm-hmm. is the most popular thing in fandom. And I have always been like super female character focused, like super female character focused. So that was how I started off. I was very much about like, I want team fic. I want fic that centers women. And I started off in Marvel fandom that way. But, you know, Marvel fandom in 2012, 2013, and for many years after that is super white. So, like, I mean, I was having fun for a while doing the Marvel fanfic. And, yeah, my stuff was female-centric and things like that. But I started looking at myself and I was just like, I read stuff about characters of color. I want stuff about characters of color. I need to start producing that content because that's something I want. So I definitely have, since then, like, I've made, like, a very deliberate effort to prioritize stories about people of color, and I do a lot of het, but, like, my most podfic stuff is Jen, because, I mean, Found Family is, like, sort of, like, my bread and butter.
Yes.
And then it's het. And then I was also a lot about the polyamory. I have like my OT3s and I love those. And then I did fem slash. And if I did any dude slash, it was usually as a gift for a friend, or like someone had a multi-voice project and then they, you know, pulled me in. And recently the dude slash counter in my works counter like surpassed fem slash and the polyamory stuff, and I was just like, no, my brand. and it was mostly because like I was in a lot of projects with other people and they really like the dude slash, so I've also made like recently been like, I need to get back on the wagon, I need to focus on getting more fem slash out there, getting more like poly stuff out there. And then for Critical Role, that's sort of like I'm not usually monofaddish, but that's sort of my main fandom right now. Like, I haven't really super got into anything else. And Critical Role is interesting because it's a lot of fantasy races. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, there's not a whole bunch of traditional, like, human, like, representation. So it's been an interesting space to work in. It's also been a very niche space. I'm fully like 65% of the podfic tag on like Critical Role. I have counted. So it's a niche thing, but like it's sort of the thing that's making me happy right now. But I'm also like fully dedicated to like making stuff, making the content I want to see in the world, because I've never been into the white dude slash. I'm kind of tired of the white dude slash, and this is my way of just like being the change I want to see in the world.
Exactly. Right.
So. All right. And then, so sort of a related question. How does being a person of color influence the way you sort of experience podfic fandom? Because your race isn't a very visible thing about you on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that can be like super like liberating. Like people don't know what you look like. So you feel sort of that there's like a level playing field in that sense. But it could also feel like really erasing. And I just want to know, is that something that you have felt in the podfic fandom or?
Jazz me. The thing is, I'm British. I live in Britain. So I'm probably coming from it from like a different aspect, in the sense that like by hearing someone's voice in Britain, I can actually go by class, as in, oh, they're middle class or this or that, than by, say, voice. Mm-hmm. Whereas I know with American, well, the American ones I speak to, you know, like I can hear them and go, oh, they sound, you know, African-American because of Candace, this and that and the other. But apart from that, no, I think people are more, I guess they're very specific about voice, as in, people have to sound this way or else they won't enjoy it, that kind of stuff. So I don't think the voice markers in terms of your race or in terms of your ethnicity is the issue, as much as people are just really choosy about what they listen to in terms of voice. Because when people hear I'm British, they're like, "Well, why don't you have the received register?" And I'm like, "Sorry, fam, I can't help you." So that's my main thing.
I can jump in again. So this is Jess, and I was thinking about this question a lot, just because, like I said, I've very recently been trying to think more about kind of myself as a person of color in fandom as a whole and in podfic fandom. And I think I tend to do like I kind of make little boxes for things. And I would like to be more intersectional in like the things I do and the way I think about myself, but I tend to do little boxes. And I tie fandom things and podfic and the things I create really closely to my identity as like a queer person. And I've tended to separate that a lot from my identity as a person of color. And it was something that I kind of struggled with a lot, like in college and things like that. Because I'm Latina, I'm Mexican American. And that's a big part of me and who I am as a person. And in college, it was really hard for me because I was getting to experience like the queer community a lot, and that meant a lot to me. But then I'd get really, really homesick and really, really like, in more cultural spaces, I would kind of push like the queer sides of myself to the side and experience like my more cultural stuff, and then I'd like bring it back. And so I tended to divide it out. And I think when it
Mood.
came to like fandom stuff, I very closely tied like the things I create to like my identity as a queer person. And so I didn't really think about my identity as a person of color, because I had just like distanced that from the way I interacted with fandom and podfic. And so it didn't bother me that I mostly read white gaze, because I'm like, whoop, I mostly see white gaze. Like that's what, and so I tended more that way. And it wasn't until, like I said, a couple last couple years probably, where I was like, wow, I think I should make more of an effort to write to see more of myself in the things I create. So it never bothered me before, and it still doesn't really bother me, and I do listen to kind of whatever. But when there are, especially by like my friends and people I know, and if it's a fandom I'm not familiar with, but it's like people of color, I'm like, ooh, like this is really cool. Like I really want to listen to this because I'll enjoy it either way. Like I trust this person's taste, and like this is like people who remind me of my friends or like people I know, and a way to kind of bridge the gap between my more like cultural identities and being a person of color and being a queer person. So, and you're right, like you can't really tell on the internet like just by and even the way like I sound very white. And I talk very differently, and that's, that's one of those like what does being white sound like, it's kind of nonsense. But I do, and I sound really different from like the rest of my family members, like when I talk. And you code switch, so the way I talk at home is different than the way I talk to people at school. But anyways, you can't really tell. So in some ways that's kind of freeing, and in some ways I'm like, yeah, but this part of me influences a lot about how I experience the world and how I like the different things that I do and the different yeah, you just everything about you. It is tied in really closely. So, while it is kind of freeing sometimes to just be like another person on the internet, it is always nice when you find other people of color in the same spaces, and
Definitely.
it's a nice connection to make.
Oh, this is Mel. Can I tag on to that? To
Yes.
be like, yeah, like, that thing of like not having visible signifiers over the internet unless you put out your own signifiers. It means it's like sometimes trying to find other fans of color is hecka hard.
Oh, it's hard.
Right? Like,
Yeah.
It's like, dare I ask about it? Do I have to wait until someone else says something? Right? And then I'm like, oh my gosh, another fan of color. And then I'll basically be awkward in their comments. Yeah, but I feel like it doesn't really become as obvious until I'm in brick space gatherings, because I've only just started going to different fanish cons this year. And it's really obvious that there aren't a lot of brown folks there. Yeah, and it's so always so exciting to be like, oh, I see you. I see you. Right? Whether it's in a fanish situation or just in other situations. Yeah, I will say for me, Podfic fandom as a fandom is only a thing I really got involved in this spring, no matter how much Trish has been trying to drag me in over Twitter. I'm I still don't know how Twitter works. But I feel a lot of the spaces I hang out where fellow podfickers hang out are fairly international, right? And so that dynamic and the people's expectations and experiences are really different in an international space versus a very US-centered space, right? Mm-hmm. And how much me being a POC matters or doesn't matter, because it's every country's histories, right, in relation to race and all of that stuff is just different. Yeah, I have no idea. I honestly have no idea how visible what I am is to other people. I mean, you can probably guess from my icon if you look at it on AO3, because it's one I made it back in when I was an undergrad, and it's super Asian looking. Right? And I'll do some podfics where I get to speak Cantonese, which was super exciting to me. But I think those would be the only markers anyone would have that I wasn't white, right? And there's that whole default assume people are white unless explicitly said otherwise. Right? And sometimes I'm just no, I'm gonna be explicit about it and you can deal with me or not.
Yeah, this is Isabella. I think, my name, for one, my name's Isabella. That's pretty Latina, sort of, except, recently. Thanks, Twilight.
Shout out to Twilight.
But I realized I checked my Twitter profile and I don't have Latina. I have queer on there. I did not have Latina on there as part of my profile. I just added it. But I was wow, this is something I don't even think about all that much, especially since I think from my voice, I've only had a very few people even mention that I'm an English as a second language speaker. English is my second language, it's not my first. And there's not a whole lot of people that pick up on that. And I think part of becoming an English speaker and trying to mask the accent and all the little tells that come out when I speak to my mom, for instance. That has influenced my way of speaking a lot, especially when I'm trying to do my professional podficking voice. I think we all kind of have our podfic voice isn't necessarily our speaking voice. So there's all those little adjustments that you make. I know for when I try to speak a little lower, just because I'm really self-conscious about how high my voice can be sometimes. And, just those little things. But yeah, a lot of what Jess said, especially about, my queer identity and my Latina identity have been separate for so long, especially because there's not really real life spaces where I can be both of those things. I mean, I live in the Pacific Northwest. It's very, very, very white. And a lot of the Spanish people that I've met in person are usually white, even if a lot of them are queer. So yeah, that I don't know if there was a point in there, but
that's
my
that's
experience.
Fine. We're sharing our experience. that's what it was about. Like, how does that affect your experience as a Podfic fandom?
Yeah.
So this is Trish. For me, I didn't think about race so much in the beginning, because I had discovered this shiny new thing and I was having fun with it. But also around the time I started podficking, I was also starting to meet up with people. And let me tell you, every fan meeting I've been to in real life, including podvacation, has been overwhelmingly white.
Yeah.
So many white people. So like anytime I see someone who's brown, it's like, like my people.
The look of recognition.
Exactly. Like I remember when we were at podvacation last year. And we got the Europod friends on like Skype, and I saw this one Asian person. I was just like, who is that? and I found out that's Fish Patrol. I still haven't reached out to them yet, but I want them to know that I saw them and my heart and I want to be friends anyway. But for me, so I didn't think about it so much at first because again, like I said, I was having fun, but then around the same time I was going to fan spaces in real life and then sort of looking at what I was creating and realizing there was like a dearth in stories that center characters of color. And like I said, I got into podficking to make the content I wanted to see in the world, but it really affects how I consume podfic and fandom.
Mm-hmm.
I create like maybe 10 times what I listen to. I feel like podfic fandom in the aggregate has been really reflective of, you know, the larger fandom in that white dude slash is the focus for a lot of what we create in podfic fandom. And I think there are certain individual fandoms that are better about centering characters of color. And I love those spaces, but I do feel a lot that there isn't a lot out there that is necessarily appealing to what I want to listen to. And that's been sort of hard. And that's been sort of a little lonely. I don't know. I don't really know if I have like anything to go from that. Like this is sort of why I wanted this podcast. Like, because I know like we all have different experiences in fandom and, you know, it's just, and I just sort of wanted to get a sense of like, how do other people feel about this? And like, sort of related to our next question, like, how do we feel that podfic fandom does with characters, stories about characters of color? Is there anything we could do better? Like, what could we do better?
This is Jess. I, in general, feel that podfic fandom tries to be more aware of itself, I think. Or maybe I just have like really, I think the people I see on, so the people I have on Twitter, which does, it's like I have a lot of most of you on Twitter. And I do see an active like effort to kind of, I know we run challenges sometimes that try to focus more on like female characters or.
Right. Yeah, I feel we've done really well with female characters.
Yeah, I think, and I think I've seen that push in a lot of podficers towards female characters, and I feel that we're starting to go that way, maybe, hopefully, with characters of color. And I know a lot of podfickers really enjoy characters of color, and now whether or not we make those try to center them in our creations, I guess, is a different story. But as a whole, I think podfic fandom, it tries to be more aware of itself as a kind of whitish space. but I do agree that it widely reflects what's popular in fandom at the time, and that's always has been and probably will continue to be for some time until, you know, people make an active effort, the white dudes. And that's, and it does kind of influence the fandoms I do listen in and pick. So for a little bit I was doing Teen Wolf, and I was super, like, I really, really liked Scott McCall. And I was so excited because they were Latino characters. But fandom mostly did Derek Stiles, which I didn't mind. I liked the ship, but I failed out of that fandom pretty fast because I'm like, but I really, really want more about Scott and his mom, and I was like so into it. And there was a couple things about them, but not really. And so I kind of just fade out of those fandoms. And the same thing with Star Wars. After The Force Awakens came out, I was like, oh my God, I really want Poe and Finn stuff. I'm so jazzed about it, or OT3. And then, I mean, it's not like there's not works for them, there are. But it's definitely not the most popular. I forget which one is because it's so
Kylo's.
irrelevant to me. It's so irrelevant to me. I forget what it, thank you.
I wish I
So
didn't know about it, but I do.
And so and that's where I guess I look at myself and I'm like, you know what though, you could stick it out and try to make those works, but instead I mostly just was like, I'm gonna fade away and I'm gonna find other stuff. And again, I don't mind in the spaces where those characters don't exist. So, in Supernatural, you had very limited characters and very limited anything. So I didn't really care as much. But in the spaces where those characters are there and they're kind of purposely kind of pushed to the side, because they're like Scott McCall was a central character. He was the lead character. And same thing with The Force Awakens, you could argue that they were the main characters.
I mean, there's no argument. They are the main
They are the main
characters.
characters. And so when they're not the main characters, I'm like, whatever. I'll still listen to the popular ship. But when they are the main characters and they're not, stuff isn't being made about them, I'm like, okay, I don't want to be here. And I'll go somewhere else. So anywho, that was kind of a long-winded way to say, I do think there are things we do well. But there are definitely ways that we can improve, just like fandom as a whole.
Okay, well, me, in terms of like me, jazz, I think how I try and do it is because I'm definitely like a fanfic writer, just in this part of the fandom, is that I do have stories with characters of color. I do have blanket permission for all my stories. I do try and, if there are like prompts of, say, characters of color that people aren't really picking up, I will try and write prompts. I'll try and answer those prompts. So I think my thing is I try and work on it from the, what's the word? I guess from like the primary material part, not necessarily from the podficking part, because when I'm podficking, it's oh God. It's pretty much for like a certain person and they have like certain pairings. But in terms of like writing, like I'll try and, because like I said, in football fandom it's very multicultural, the teams I write for. So I try and like put a bit, a bit more POC. So I think my contribution is probably just like trying to write more non-white characters, I guess, because podfic wise, like I just like do it for like Christmas, and I'm like doing it for a prompt. What I'd wish is that for, say, podficking, because sometimes I've been asked to write a story because the writer dropped out. But then the fandoms that I've been asked to write for are white fandoms, like I wrote a story about Thor Kid the other day, Thor Loki, and it was okay, but it was a Thor Loki story. So I guess if like when they're having fandom things and like there's a pinch hit, I should probably agitate and say, well, is there any POC I can write? But then, if they're asking me to write a pinch hit, I can only write what I get. So, yeah, I don't know.
So that hasn't run in a while, but like I really enjoyed being in the Marvel POC Fanworks Exchange, because that was one thing that like really centered Marvel characters of color, and it was open to all kinds of offerings. It wasn't just the typical fic and art thing. So that was really exciting to me, to be able to do that. Like, like we said earlier, I feel like Podfic fandom has done like a really great job with like sort of raising the profile of female characters.
Yeah.
I can definitely think of so many podficers who are like super female centric, like write a lot of femme slash or just focus a lot on female characters. But like when I think of podfickers who really do characters of color, it's like you guys.
Right.
And that's it, sort of.
Yeah, I also, the thing, oh, this is Mel. I'm also really picky about which ones I want a podfic though, right? Because it's like sometimes the tropes that end up getting used with characters of color are just like, okay, I need to back out of this story. I can't keep going.
Yeah.
You
know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. So. Yeah. 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 Like the sassy friend or something. Yeah. I get you.
Everything that happens to Sam Wilson.
Yeah.
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 Like, I don't know, but the Black Panther thing, I mean, it kind of like lent a what would a welcome what's the word, presence in fandom from what I could see, because I don't know, I mean, well, in terms of like the fic, really, I don't know in terms of podficking, but I've listened to a couple.
Yeah. So for Black Panther podfic, there's certainly a lot of. There's not as much as I'd like. There's, and what there is, it's like, so like writing fandom is all about Eric and T'Challa. Podfic fandom is more about M'Baku and T'Challa. Yeah. And there was a couple of Shuri stuff, but like I came away from that movie basking in the glory of all the women in that movie. And there was nothing in the podfic fandom until I made it. So, so that's, and that like sort of feeds into my, frustration, which is that everyone, like, I can't think of people who didn't like Black Panther, like, like they really enjoyed it and then
didn't produce, but anything,
then they didn't produce anything for it. So like, you know, we talked about Star Wars and, how, the fandom at large is more about the white space Nazis. But you know
what,
but
call it what it is.
Yeah, but the thing is, podfic fandom actually does not follow that trend.
They don't. And I do appreciate it.
And it very much comes down to the people who are choosing to podfic in that fandom. So like we have very prolific podficers in the Star Wars fandom, and they do very much sort of prioritize the OT3 and so like, you know, like Reylo and Kylux are still in there, but they're definitely not as predominant
as the work centering.
Exactly. And you know, Brooklyn Nine-Nine has been super great, and that's also because like literally half the cast is
POC
of color. Also, Pacific Rim fandom. That was another fandom I failed out of because it became all about the white dude slash. When Mako and Stacker are right there. But, like, also the podfic about it has been mainly about Mako. So, individual fandoms, I feel like, I think we do a pretty good job, but, like, in the aggregate, sort of, is, like, where we're kind of, like, getting stuck.
Yeah, because, I feel like, oh, this is Mel. I feel like it's just reflective of that general trend of, like, fiction will get a lot of comments. Podfic already doesn't get a lot of comments. And then if you compare, like, fiction about characters of color versus white characters in fiction, and you, like, bring that ratio over to podfic. Like, it's a lot of, like, we put out what we want for the world, and the people who get excited about it and see something that reflects them, they get really happy about it, and that's enough to make me really happy. But I feel like it's kind of that slow, we're all kind of pushing the fandom trends, but unless we can find a way to maybe incentivize people to both comment more on podfic in general, and that trickles down somehow. But I know, like, who is it? Like, Copper Badge does that zero comment challenge once in a while, periodically. So doing something like that, like promoting that in fandom for podfics would might be really
Yeah,
nice.
that I know they do that for, they try to do that for at least like the pod together stuff. The mods really try to encourage people to comment on the stuff that hasn't had comments yet. But yeah, I agree, like maybe like a larger fandom initiative or like
Well, yeah, I mean, because you just tagging on to what everybody says, because I think you have one where you have like what, Podfic encouragement, isn't it? Like once a month where they go, this is a time for you to like start podficking. Go on
Oh, is it
Twitter.
Podathon?
Yeah, they could probably have that, you know, just like one, you know, like once, like one weekend, you know, this is a time for you to just like comment on unloved fics. Go, probably.
There was a little challenge for a little bit. Well, it's not a challenge, but there was like a, I think it was I don't know if it's We Love Podfic or what. There was like a thing where you'd get like points for
Yeah, feedback
commenting.
challenge. Yeah, the
Yes,
Podfic feedback
and there was,
challenge.
it's actually how, it's like sidebar, but it's how like Petika and I became pretty good friends, because one of them was like a video, send video feedback, and so I sent her video feedback for something, and she sent me back video, like kind of feedback as like a response, and then we would just send each other videos before we realized that we were like essentially Skyping with like a serious lag. Like we would send each other like 30-minute, 45-minute videos, and then we just started
Whoa.
regular Skyping after that. But anywho, it was for that challenge, and I sent like three videos, I think, and it was really fun. You'd do, there was like a postcard you could do, and you'd get more points if you commented on a podfic that had zero comments, and you didn't really get anything at the end, but it was just fun. Like it was a fun little way to appreciate podfic more, and I don't know if that still runs. If it does, I
It
missed it.
hasn't been run in the past few years.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
that was really fun. And it was
It
a fun
was.
way to get more feedback out there and interact with other podfickers. And it was just fun. Yeah, it was a good challenge or a good week of feedback.
I mean, I think it'd be also like pretty fun to also run something similar to the Awesome Ladies Podfic anthology for, but for characters of color, like
I
maybe
think
if,
that'd be super cool.
right? But then the question becomes like when, because like I mean like literally the fetish calendar is it can be
Busy.
crowded.
Yeah, it
So
can be busy.
yeah. So I mean that's something I've been thinking about, like that I really want to have happen. It's just a matter of like when would be a good time to do it. Like I know we run the Podfic anthology during like February because that's like femme slash February and like female character February, like so, but like when would be like an appropriate time for like characters of color in general is so that's something I'd like to see. We'll
It
see
is,
if we can make that
yeah.
happen.
I like that.
Just pick a month. I feel like in the end, there'll be like fanish stuff happening all the time. So it's like pick a month and whoever can participate can
Do it, we'll
participate.
do it. Yeah.
Well, October is Black History Month in the UK, so you could always probably spring for October.
But then that's also, but unfortunately, it's October is
Yeah,
Halloween in,
Halloween.
yeah. So our Black History Month is March, am I? No.
February. It's February.
March is Women's Month. April is Asian, I'm pretty sure
Pacific.
it,
It's APA month. Yeah.
I think September is
Hispanic, yeah, Heritage Month, yeah.
Because it just passed.
Yeah, but that's just in the United States, though, you know?
Right,
Like, is this
exactly,
like how
yes.
international are we making this challenge?
Right. We want it to be international, because,
So
like, there's also, yeah, like, there's also, I feel like anime fandom, I mean, counts as characters of color. Like, some of them have blonde hair, but you know what? They have Japanese
It's
names, it's
fine.
fine. Some of them have blue hair, that's fine. They're culturally Japanese,
Yes,
anyway.
let's not go into the argument of are they really
Right,
white?
exactly. I mean, unless like specifically like there are certain like anime characters who are like specifically like half French, half Japanese. I'm looking at you, Tamaki. But yeah, that's something I'd really like to see happen
Yeah,
eventually.
I think that's really cool. I would love to see that. And I think, yeah, we could just pick like a random month and be like, here you go.
We're doing it.
We're gonna do it this month.
Right. So, was there anything anyone else wanted to talk about or just address before we move on to the rec section?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're good.
I mean, this is Mel, and I'm thinking this was really fun, so this might be fun to do periodically, even just to be just to chat about things. 'Cause I go to the my I went to my first convention this year called WISCON, which is like in Madison, Wisconsin, and they have this one panel that's called Not Another Race Panel that they've been running for like several years now, where it's like the panel is all women of color, mostly black women, and they're basically like, let's talk about anything else but race, because we're always called to be on these panels to talk about race in science fiction and so like fun. Race and whatever. So it's like, we're going to do anything, like we're all going to be women of color, and this will all just be informed by our experiences, but we're going to talk about everything except dealing with race in stuff.
I love that.
I love that idea. I mean, maybe like a monthly, like, here's some more like podfics about characters of color you might be interested in.
I think that'd be really fun. That'd be
fun if we kind of like not like a book club, but a podfic club.
Yeah.
Like, read stuff, listen, and then yell about it.
All right. Isabella, did you get a chance to talk during that last conversation? I don't remember if we got to hear from you, but
not really. But I think everyone pretty much said things I was going to say. I was like,
I wanted you to have a chance to say something wanted to say something. Okay, good.
So these are both kind of self-recs. So yay! So there is a Young Avengers America Kate fic. That's called If You Don't Like It, You Can Lump It. It's written by Verity. But it was me, X-Man Hater, Reganim, and Aria314 who did it. I really like doing Young Avengers stuff because I adore America Kate, so. Yeah, and the other one is one that I did that's written by X-Man Hater called In Quiet. It's a Legend of Korra. Thick. That's Korra and Asami. Double whammy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a little bit of trouble with mine because lately I've been doing a lot of Star Wars stuff, but I've been doing like Rebels and Clone Wars stuff because I adore Ahsoka, but like Ahsoka, then you get into the weird like
Ahsoka's
an alien.
Yeah. right. Like that's the trouble when you're like in like sci-fi and fantasy fandoms. Like
there are
racial things don't always map. Yeah.
Yeah, and then there are some, but like how? Oh, it's just so complicated when you introduce aliens into everything. And yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway.
I can go next. This is Jess. So I picked out one that I really, really liked was it's called Whoever You'll Be Tomorrow. And it's Steve Sam technically, but it's really like Sam Wilson centric. Oh, so yeah, it's Marvel. And it was written for Pod Together, I think. And the author was Things with Wings, who's awesome. I absolutely adore them. And the podficker was Sally Sparrow 017. And it's audio excerpts from the Sam Wilson archives. And so it's run they're like audio diaries. Mm-hmm. And anyways, I love this one. It's just really well done. And like, it was like, it worked really well as a pod together. And then it just was like amazing as a podfic. So you guys should check it out. It's really Sam centric and it kind of goes over, his like years from like leaving the service and his video diaries and kind of this like process and his recovery, and it's just really cool, like really well done and really fun. And then the other one I had was a it's called Recovery, and it's by Rena Jenkins. The podfic is by Rena Jenkins, and it's a Star Wars one, a Poe Finn one. And it's super fun. Also, it's really, it's an hour and a half, and it's slow burn. And it's just really funny. I was super entertained by it, because they don't get together until, like, the very end because, you know, slow burn. But, like, Poe is super thirsty for Finn for, like, the whole fic. And so it's like it's rated explicit, and for a good reason. But it's just really, it's super fun. And Rena Jenkins is like, she's awesome, and I love her podfix. She always has like the best delivery for all of the lines. So that one's also really fun, and I highly recommend. Apparently, it's she did the other two, and I didn't see it until like when I went to go find the link, and I was like, ah, there's more. But I haven't listened to the other ones, but I'm sure they're great.
Okay, well, this is Kaicho Jazz. The two I'm recommending are Bait and the Beauty, and this is read by Annalisa 010.
Yeah.
Right. What I like about this one, okay, basically, because I live in Britain, so I do like listen to radio dramas, especially Regency radio dramas, and basically over here, everyone is like received register. So it's a thrill to listen to like Regency, but in Annalise's kind of style, because she has a really snarky kind of tone sometimes, where so you know, as in when she's reading it, it actually comes off. I don't know how to say it. Like in her tones, the Regency sounds like a bit more natural, not so, oh, you know, lady this and lady la di da. It's actually quite
It's a little more accessible.
Yeah.
It's more accessible, yes.
And then on top of that, she has like this sort of, because she's like bringing in her music, you know, like her musicality as well. So the songs that are chosen in this fic, you're thinking, oh, well, that's not really, you know, Chopin or Handel, isn't it? But it really works because it's not. Mm-hmm. So I'd recommend that one. And then for the second one, it was I Want to Make Up My Mind. And this is by Black Glass and Company.
And a whole bunch of other people.
Yes, it's like a zoo fic. A zoo pod fic, sorry. In the sense of like you have different voices. And it's based on a music video called Genghis Khan.
I love that one.
Yes, and by Mike Snow, and it's actually like a prequel before the music video, or is it prequel? So it's interesting, and every single voice is just suited to the character, and what I liked is just that it was just a joy to listen to. It felt like an 80-minute clip of a radio series, so because it was just so much action, and you know, and everybody's just like coming on, and they're just like, everything is a character, and it's on, it's just a theater of the mind. I really enjoyed that fic, that podfic immensely. So yes, my two recommendations.
And for people who don't know, Annalise is Black, and she was supposed to be on this podcast, but she couldn't make it.
Yeah,
so
she missed the date, but she was almost
on this. Next time. We miss you, Danielle.
Next time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Should I go?
I want, or if you want,
or
yeah,
you can go first.
Well, I want to go because I want to wreck something of yours, and I want to take it before you can try to wreck.
Oh, damn it!
Am I allowed to? Or
yeah,
do
go for it. Do it.
No,
it's fine.
I want to do it.
No. Do it. Go for it.
Okay, so my first wreck is by Mel, and it's from Check Please, which I don't go there at all. I have no idea about this fandom, but Mel made it, and it's about Chris Chow, who is Chinese Canadian.
No, Chinese American.
Oh, he's Chinese American.
Yeah,
I assumed everyone.
He is from the Bay Area. He's from the Bay Area, like me.
He's
so
a
I was like, oh
fan.
My god. Yes.
He's a Sharks fan, Chowder.
But yeah, I just, like, it just gave me so many feelings, because just so many diaspora feelings, and then just hearing Mel just, you know, speaking our mother tongue was just really comforting and really great to hear. So that's why I want to wreck it. I'm sorry I stole it from
you. Thank
you. But I love it so much. It's by Pepperfield.
Mm-hmm. Who is also Asian American. She's also Kanto.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Our small Check Please Kanto crew. Yeah.
And then my other one is also a self-rec. It's A Cry Answered. It's a Pacific Rim podfic, and it was written by Imperfect Circle. So there are three versions of this podfic. There was one version by a multi-voice group. So because it it has three different character viewpoints. There's Stacker and Mako, and their on-base therapist, Fuyumi Yoshida, who's Japanese. And it's basically about, it's an imagining of Stacker and Mako's first year together, and, you know, the growing pains of, you know, adopting a child and learning their language. And there's a lot of code switching in this between English and Japanese. So I was excited when that multi-voice pod came out, but for me, the most important thing about that story was the code switching. And like, I racked my brain, I recorded it, because I had to. I went ahead and recorded it. And then I sat on that recording for like 2 years, because I couldn't think of a way to signal how, when they were speaking in Japanese and when they were speaking in English. And then I met Hana Nobira, who taught Japanese and speaks Japanese, and she and one of her friends translated a lot of the Japanese dialogue. And then, you know, like how in documentaries, if there's someone speaking a different language, you hear them speaking in their native language first, and then they fade it out until the interpreter's voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was sort of the direction I went with that.
Cool.
So mine and Hana Nobira's version is, you know, has actual Japanese in that. And then I had a remix square on Podfic Bingo, and I was just like, what if I took both of these podfics and I smushed them together? So there's also a version where we have the people from the multipod, you know, voicing the actual characters. I spliced in my narration, and I also included Hana Nobira's translations, and I'm super proud of how that podfic came out.
Awesome.
And I think you should listen to it. You can go now, Mel.
Okay. Is it bad that, like, I mostly have self-recs?
No.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Self-recs are encouraged, so.
Okay. Just because, like, I realized I wanted to look up some more, and that was right around when AO3 was like, hey, we're redoing all the code. And I can't look at all my bookmarks. Sorry. Okay, so, since you stole my other one, I actually did have other things. So one that I'm really proud of is, Between Hurting and Healing by Penny Proud, which was actually my first published podfic. I was working on something bigger at the time, and then this fic basically grabbed me by the shoulders and shook me. Mm-hmm. And I basically had to do it, because it's about Chris Chow's journey as a trans woman, and kind of, basically there's like a gazillion feels about being queer and being Chinese American and all of that. And I was like, I have to do this. I don't care that I don't have a beta and I've never published anything of my podfic before. I'm doing this. So I really like that one. And then the other one that I just got released is actually another Pepperfield fic from Captain Marvel fandom. And the pairing is Carol Danvers and Maria Rambeau. So it's Quantum Entanglement, 163,427 light years back to you. It's a soulmate identifying marks AU.
But, I love those.
Yeah, so Carol is like the viewpoint character, but Maria is like such a huge part of it. And I feel like I got to have some fun acting out her parts. It's basically full of feels. So yeah, those are my two recs. And then, if we start up a regular, like, podfic wrecking podcast, I will dig out more. But right now,
I mean,
they're buried
in my
bookmarks.
I think we have time. I did say if we have time, we could go for more. Like, I know I have a whole bunch of wrecks that I had to back burner because I was like, which ones are the ones I really want to talk about? But yeah, we can go around if anyone has something else they want to share. I have another one. It's also a self-rec. But I really love it. It's Kandake, and it's a Black Panther fic written by Here Nor There, Near Nor Far. And it's such a rich story about the history of the ruling queens of Wakanda. Mm-hmm. And the rituals that you go through before you marry a Black Panther and become Queen of Wakanda. So it centers Ramonda and Okoye and Nakia. And then all the past queens of Wakanda. You get a surprise appearance from the goddess Bast. And a really delightful Shuri. And it's just, I really love that story. You can tell so much care went into researching the various, you know, African cultures that, you know, and different African names and different, like, tribal rituals. And it's just really awesome. And I really, I want more Black Panther podfic. So I hope people will listen to it and like it and, like, create more stuff in Black Panther about the women. So...
Well, but I guess it's the whole thing of blanket permissions, isn't it, really? Yeah. Because I do know, like, a lot of writers. I remember when, because I'm in football fandom, and it's a Drizzy. Mm-hmm. She was in football fandom, and she's, you know, she'd be like, well, I'd like to do more podfic in football fandom, but not many people with the blanket permissions.
Yeah, so it's like a struggle.
So it's just like a big push in football fandom, you know, because I write, so I'd always like reach out to other writers and say, well, would you want to, like, I don't know, put on blanket permissions? Can you do this? And when you explain to them what it means and the fact that, yes, you know, it's still your work, it's not going to change, they go, oh yeah, it's okay. So I think, you know, I guess a big thing is probably, I don't know, try and get more writers to have BP.
I mean, I definitely feel like that is, like, sort of a contributing factor. Like, who is creating the content for the fandom is definitely a big part of it. Who, like, encourages fan works in the fandom, and what do they write, and how does that, you know, impact what is, you know, podfic from the fandom is an interesting thing to think about, and probably definitely plays a role. But yeah, who else has recs? Any extra recs that they want to throw up?
No, not offhand. I mean, I do have, like, bookmarks, but AO3 is kind of, like, acting a bit like a butt right now. But I can also put them on the G-Doc.
Yeah, is that going to be released as a thing?
Yes, I was going to release some show notes. Or if you guys want to save those for, like, a future podcast, we can definitely do that.
Sweet. Yeah, that'd be cool.
All right. Well, thank you for meeting. I had a lot of fun talking with y'all.
Yeah, it was cool. Thanks for inviting me.
Yes. Trish.
I know.
Yeah. And I hope everyone listening enjoys this as well.
Yes.
So, goodbye from all of us.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
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 Yeah. But let's be friends.
Yes, let's be friends. Fish Patrol.
Get and please, writers, if you're out there, if you're a fanfic writer and you're listening, can you please put blanket permission on your AO3 profile for the benefit of podficers who would want to podfic stories, but can't because your blanket permissions aren't there. That's like my public service announcement every time in a fandom.
Yeah.
Powwow.
This was a potty favor for the first series of Behind the Pod.
If you'd like to leave a written comment or a talk back for the creators, you can do so on the Archive of Our Own post, which can be found at ao3.org/users/behindthepod, or on the Dreamwidth discussion post found at bethepod.dreamwidth.org.
If you'd like to listen to the rest of this series, you can find it all on our AO3 page. Thank you for listening. We hope you have a great day.